This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. This message is a warning.
Everyone, hang on!
Karabast. Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions.
Let's go get him.
All right, if I tag along?
I'm on my mark. Get down!
My name is Rex.
The rebels of the Lothal system. Hunt them down. My gut tells me this is a trap.
Everywhere we go, we run into those guys.
Kenobi!
To defeat an enemy, you must know them.
I'm not afraid.
That's what worries me.
Embrace your destiny.
We are fighting a bigger fight.
He was my master.
Ahsoka, why did you leave? Do you know what I've become?
Yes, master.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Myers.
Welcome back to Rebels Reactions, everybody. Wow, it's so good to be back behind this microphone. I am one of your hosts. I'm Aaron Harris, and joining me is my friend, my partner, my wingman, David Myers. David, how are you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing over there?
Well, doing wonderful, doing wonderful. Getting settled in the new house, getting everything set up, trying to figure out getting a new setup here for the new reaction studio here, and trying to get stuff set up properly. But, you know, all things considered, doing well. So we have a full show today, my friend. For everybody listening, we are going to actually do a two-part show today. First part, we actually are going to discuss some news concerning the upcoming animated show, Star Wars Resistance. Since our last episode, there has been quite a bit of stuff that has been announced and discussed. So we will look into all of that. Then after that, we will start our discussion on A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller. So buckle up, sit back, and enjoy the ride.
Can you imagine what it's like to be an ace pilot?
This is your chance to make that true.
I've got a mission for you.
Yes!
Blend in, find out who's loyal to the good guys and who isn't.
What was that?
What was what?
The throwing and the falling. Over there.
Don't think about it.
You can work on my team.
Get ready to be impressed.
But when it comes to your mission as a spy, I don't want anything to do with it.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
I just wanted to wish my competition good luck.
This is fine. I'm fine.
Just be careful and don't explode.
I'll do my best.
This should be good.
Here we go. Star Wars Resistance, an all-new series, premieres Sunday, October 7th at 10 on Disney Channel. Yes!
That's right. On the 7th of October, we are getting Star Wars Resistance. David, are you ready?
I am more than ready. I'm super excited about this, buddy. And of course, just like, you know, you had put it online on Twitter that as soon as we, as soon as you posted the show, right at the end of August, we were basically trying to predict, you know, how much would Lucasfilm reveal. And of course, they've revealed a ton since we last recorded, and really filling us in on all the characters. And so it's made it even more exciting.
It really has. They've actually opened up with two additional videos that they've released through their website and StarWars.com, and of course they're both on YouTube as well. We had the Meet Team Fireball video that was released. I think that was released right before we recorded the last episode, or not long after, or right there around that time. But then on the 14th of September, they released a new video called The Aces. What were your impressions when you watched these videos, David?
Oh, my gosh. You know, they kind of it was an initial reaction, then it changed a bit. You know, with Team Fireball, With that particular video, kind of, you know, led off with Filoni giving some background on Kaz, Tam, Nico, Yeager. It's not Yeager, like our astronaut Yeager. It's Yeager, right? And then Buck. Those are the five members of Team Fireball. My initial reaction was very interested in all of these characters who work on the Colossus platform. But, you know, with Athena Portillo, who has done, you know, a lot of the producing for Filoni's work, she really, you know, was trying to emphasize this was going to be more geared for young children. However, in the second one, the Aces, when they introduced Toradoza, Hype Faison, Freya Fenris, Griff Halloran, and Bo Keevil, some of the clips in that video, you know, some of them in outer space, not down on the Colossus, showing X-Wings up there in outer space, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be for us too, you know, not just for young kids. So even more excited after the second video there on the Aces.
Oh, the Aces was a great video too. That one was where we got to meet some of the pilots there on the Colossus, which was great. And we actually got to find out, I know we talked about it in our last episode, that the great Steven Stanton was going to have a role in, it was announced via his Twitter, he was going to have a role in this episode, or in this series, and that character was announced too. He's a former TIE pilot who has basically got, who's basically out of the military, still wears his old broken down TIE uniform. The name is, was it Griff? Giff?
No, you got it. Griff.
Griff.
You got
Griff.
It. Yep.
Yeah, and he looks awesome. I love how he's painted up his TIE fighter helmet with the look like, almost looks like a skull painting on it now. Which was quite awesome. And one thing I really am liking about these videos is the number of ships that we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of different design ships in this series, just in these clips too.
Oh, they're gorgeous. They're gorgeous. In fact, you and I know, and we've said this many times on Rebels Reactions, that, you know, StarWars.com and really the data bank gives so much information, and they helped us after that video came out to associate each of the flyers, Aces, with their ship color. And so do you want me to go through those real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, Toradoza, she's got that blue one. It's called Blue Ace. Hype Faison is Green Ace. Freya Fenris, who is voiced by one of our favorites, who voiced, who's the Governor Price. Governor Price.
Oh, yes.
Elizabeth. Thank you, yes. Yeah. I'm messing it up. But she was on there. She plays Freya Fenris, but she's Red Ace. And then, of course, our guy Steve Stanton is Griff Halloran, and he's Black Ace. And then Bo Keevil is Yellow Ace. Now, it's interesting that Bo Keevil, you know, a la Evil Knievel, they do not list who does the voice of that character, just like Bucket. So they've got one person in Team Fireball, they don't tell us the voice, and one person in the Aces that they don't tell us the voice. But those are the Aces and the color ships that are in. But the it's something I was going to mention to you, Aaron, is I was thinking about this before we were recording. I was thinking in Rebels, you know, the number of characters we learned, but this is, you've got 10 right there, 5 in Team Fireball and 5 in the Aces. That's a lot more characters than in Rebels.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, we got a lot more. We got Team Fireball, which is pretty, I got feelings it'll be pretty much the focus of the show. But then we have these Aces, which are going to play a significant role as well. Like a supporting cast, like the Callus and the Sato from Rebels, all played a support, that type of supporting role. And I think that's what these Aces are going to be in that point as well. I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, let me ask you this, I may have missed it. Have they said where Colossus, what planet Colossus is on?
So far, no. Nothing I've heard. Even at StarWars.com, when you scroll down, you'll see a whole thing on Clone Wars Save, and you can click on it. Just below it is it's a Star Wars Resistance. I've clicked on it. Everything I've read nothing tells us the planet yet. Not that I've seen. Now, someone might, you know, tweet at us tonight or tomorrow and tell us the name of the planet, but I haven't seen anything. Have you, buddy?
I haven't. That's why I was asking, because it looks like a sunny side of Kamino.
It does. It does, yeah. Well, exactly, exactly. Versus, right, the overcast, rainy skies of Kamino. Yeah, sunny and nice, yeah.
So who knows? I mean, we know after the Clone Wars, the Clone's army was shut down, so probably a lot of the cloning operations there on Kamino got shut down. Why couldn't this be one of the old cloning bases on Kamino that they've transformed?
Oh, I never even thought about that until you just said it. That would be sweet.
So, but it's definitely a really good, it's got a lot of promise, a lot of, looks like it's going to have a lot of action, a lot of energy going into this show, which actually what brings me to the next announcement that we want to make. I know it has been questioned since Resistance was announced what Coffee with Kenobi was going to do covering Resistance. There were questions about who, whether what kind of show we would do, whether it's going to be rolled into this show, rolled into the main show. But we have an announcement on that. It is with great excitement that we get to announce to you that we will be covering Resistance with a brand new show called Resistance Reactions. That's right. Resistance Reactions will be covering every episode and more of Star Wars Resistance. And the biggest announcement is the two pilots that will be helming that show, I hope you guys are familiar with. It's me and David. David and I will be hosting Resistance Reactions along with our duties here at Rebels Reactions. So we are really looking forward to that. So when the show premieres October 7th, you can look for the first episode of Resistance Reactions not far afterwards. David?
I'm excited, buddy. I'm excited. I'm loving this. It continues the partnership like we were talking earlier today. I definitely be a wingman to you and support the whole process here. And like I've said many times on the show, one of the biggest things that I had hoped when I was getting back into Star Wars was to just really have the sense of community. And I've said it, like I said many times, Coffee with Kenobi has really allowed that to happen. And getting to know you through, you know, not only Coffee with Kenobi, but Star Wars Weekends. And then, of course, getting to know you even better with the podcast Rebels Reactions. It just continues that process of just really enjoying something that, you know, you and I just love. And I'm thankful that we can cover this show that looks like it's just going to be a lot of fun and, like you said, a lot of excitement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be a blast. Getting to continue to work with you is awesome. So I want to take a quick moment and just thank Dan Z, the main man himself, for letting us take the reins and run with this. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we hope you will enjoy it as well as much as we are going to have making it. So it's going to be great. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to cover with Resistance. I mean, we got a lot of characters to discuss. We got a lot of ships. We got a lot of, going to have a lot of action. And of course, we got droids too. We got BB-8 going to be in there. We got the new one, Bucket, that looks like a broken down combined version of R2 and Chopper. Honestly, looks like he's got Chopper's legs, R2's small, actually it looks more like Chopper's torso, R2's legs, and looks like a BB-8 head.
Yeah he does. Yeah, I gotta get a clearer picture of him. Yeah, it says he's R1J5. I wrote that down as part of Team Fireball, so instead of an R2, he's an R1 unit. So yeah, kind of a combo, it sounds like.
looks like a melting pot to me.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see if he's as good. Well, I shouldn't even say. Can any droid be as good as Chopper in your eyes? I'm not saying that'll happen, but it looks like he's going to be fun. I don't know if he'll give Chopper a run for his money, but he looks like he's pretty fun. He's pretty fun.
I don't think anybody can give Chopper a run for his money. No. But he's going to be a lot of fun, and I like the fact that he's wearing a helmet, one of the fighter helmets. That's pretty cool. Be interesting to see what each one of these characters bring to the table. What kind of character they have. What I know, I've been seeing online, it looks like they've been putting out little character cards for each for characters. To give you a little bit about information on them. This one here I'm looking at, I got pulled up. It's talking about Niku. And it talks about his member of Team Fireball. He's a Nikito, when it comes to the species, Nikito. That sounds pretty, it just kind of rolls off the tongue. Nikito.
Yeah.
Nikito.
Yeah.
Put a little Spanish spin on that. Nikito. He's one of the mechanics there on Team Fireball. And it says his personality traits are trusting, positive, and he's an oddball.
Yeah.
That's what it says. I'm just reading.
Yeah,
he's an oddball.
Yeah, even Filoni says it. Filoni calls him an oddball, and he's a genius, but very positive. Yeah. It looks like he's positive even on the people's worst days, you know, so...
Yeah, he's very energetic, very positive. I noticed that in the few clips we have seen of him, which has been quite fun. Now, one character I'm really interested in seeing is Tam. She looks like she's going to be a tough, fun individual to see operating on Colossus. She's a mechanic, Team Fireball. I'm looking forward to seeing her and seeing what she brings to the table there. I mean, all these characters just have so much potential already, and we haven't even seen episode one yet.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. All of them. You know, Yeager, the old school guy, he's a mechanic, friend of Poe Dameron's, tries to stay out of this whole rebel thing but gets pulled into it. And like you said with Tam, she, you know, the video that introduces Team Fireball said that she's a former racer, so it'd be interesting to see as this series progresses if she gets a ship back and races again, or if it's kind of her having to get over, you know, that fear and or however it was that she lost her ship. So just like with Rebels, we'll see the development of these characters and their backstories and just have a lot of fun, you know, adding to the Star Wars mythology and lore. So.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be one of those things that are thrilled to do. And I know we've kind of shifting gears a little bit here from the characters. I know we've talked before, and I know you were never really a big gamer when it came to playing big video games and stuff like that. But I'm sitting here watching. I got the Aces video replaying in the background here real quick. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it. And I'm watching these ships race, and they're going through those rings in the midair. And all I can think of is Star Fox from the old Nintendos.
Okay, all right.
In Star Fox, I mean, that was one of the things. You would fly through these rings, and it really looks a lot like Star Fox.
Well, I thought what you were going to say, Aaron, is you're like, well, I'm watching these... You know, the Aces fly through all these rings, and I thought the first thing you're going to say is you can see the next, you know, Star Wars game after Battlefront. It's going to be called, you know, Resistance, and that's going to be one of the tasks, right? You know, to get through who can get through all these rings the fastest, and you can be any of the Aces and stuff like that. So, I can see a video game coming real fast.
I definitely can. I don't see it on my platform like the PlayStation or Xbox like that, like Battlefront. This I could see more being along the lines of a mobile game for your cell phone, or tablet. It'd be a mobile game because it'd be a simple, straightforward flying game. You just make it's not a lot. You don't have to put a lot into it. and just increase the difficulty each round. I mean, it's got a lot it could do, and you could soup up your ship and with the prize money earned. I definitely see a game coming out of this. It'd be foolish not to, especially since they're targeting it to kids. This is very reminiscent of a Saturday morning cartoon, in my opinion, from when I grew up. So obviously they're targeting that age group. So I could definitely see them putting out a video game to appeal to those kids, with, of course, all of their in-app purchases that their parents won't want to buy.
Right. Yes, but there's an app for that. You'll find it. Or they'll just put it on the Star Wars app, right? Put it right in there, you know? Hey. So,
either yeah. Or they'll put it on the Disney Now app. The Disney Now. I'll tell you what, that Disney Now app, my girls live on that app. They love it. But I was actually going through it the other day. They actually have some Rebels games in there.
Yes, they do. Yes.
I did not realize that. I mean, I was going through there and I found something about Sky Striker Academy. There were several games in there just based on Rebels. Now you got me pulling it up so I can tell you what they are. I could see them plugging it in there. If they're not going to do an individual app, I could see them plugging it into this app. Because it would fit right in with the Rebels games they already have in there.
Oh, gosh. It'd be perfect.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let's take a look here. Games. Got me looking at games now. No, I do not want Doc McStuffins. Can tell what my daughter just watched before she went to bed. There we go, Rebels. Yeah, they got a couple games. They got Imperial Heist, Sky Strike Academy, Star Wars Rebels Special Ops. Then it looks like Rebels is also a part of Puzzle Ninja as well.
Yeah, as well.
That's pretty cool.
There's four little games right there, Rebels related, that you can play on the Disney Now app, which you can download for free from your app store. And no, they are not paying us to say that. It's just a good app, and the games were actually pretty fun when I played, so check it out. Yeah. So, anything else you want to say about Resistance before we wrap this up and go into New Dawn, my friend?
Just to reiterate, I'm excited to see all these characters, and it looks like it's going to be real, real good. And like I said, you and I didn't even mention Phasma being in it a bit, and we did before. We knew that. Leia. On a previous episode, I mentioned Orca, played by Bobby Moynihan. They haven't showed him, unless it's that big DeWooten who throws the guy off. That might be Bobby Moynihan's character. And then Flix, I'm not sure who that is. But there's going to be a lot of characters, even more than just what we talked about. Torodoza's dad is a captain, Captain Doza. So we'll see him as well. They showed him a little bit in the Aces video, but more to come, a lot more to come.
Absolutely, a lot more to come, and we are going to enjoy covering this show for us. We will have more announcements in the future when it comes to social media presence and stat for Resistance. We'll be working on getting that set up. The Resistance Reactions coming to you after the premiere of Star Wars Resistance on October 7th. Make sure you keep your eyes and ears tuned in for that. Now, we will be right back after this quick message to start our discussion on John Jackson Miller's A New Dawn. All right, welcome back. We are here on Rebels Reactions, and we are starting our part one of our discussion on A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller. This is a book that was published around the beginning of Star Wars Rebels. I can't remember if it came out before Rebels came out or right as season one started.
No, it did. It came out. This is September of 2018. I recall it coming out September of 2014, just before the premiere in October of 2015 of Rebels.
All right, perfect. So it was right before the premiere of Star Wars Rebels. We had gotten a couple of random little videos, say Disney.com and or not StarWars.com, not Disney.com, StarWars.com had put out introducing us to Ezra and Hera and some of the crew. But this book was the first real glimpse that we got into Kanan Jarrus and Harris and Dula. It gave us a story of how they met and got together and started going from there. Phenomenal book. I have to admit, when this book was first published at the beginning of before Rebels started, I honestly never picked it up. I never read it. I just never did. I'm picky with my reading, with what I read. And back then I was not reading as much as I should have. So a lot of stuff that I could have been reading, I wasn't reading, so I just let it go. So I'd never touched it. This is actually, with us doing this review, this is actually my first time actually reading through this book. So I'm actually having a great time doing that.
I actually did. You know, that was a big thing back in 14. April of 14, Lucasfilm made the announcement that they were going to call the expanded universe, right, Legends. And they started with this book being, you know, A New Dawn, not just A New Dawn for, you know, Star Wars Rebels in the show, but A New Dawn for what was going to be considered canon materials. And so I remember that, you know, hearing a lot of people who were EU fans and the struggle they were having with it. I heard a number of them say they were kind of jealous of people who were going to jump in right now and just kind of start with this being canon. And so, you know, I tried to listen and see what people were saying. I knew I was really interested in Rebels. And so I thought, well, let me start with this book. And just like you and I were talking, I wasn't into the video games a whole lot because, you know, in the 90s, I was busy getting my graduate degrees. And so now that, you know, my degrees are done and my kids are a little bit older, I know, Aaron, it's shocking. I actually had some time to read. So I did read it. I had finished the book before Rebels started. And one of the biggest things, and I put one of these notes down, was just, you know, reading it a second time here to prep for you and I doing this, I absolutely hear, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. As Kanan, and I absolutely hear Vanessa Marshall's voice whenever I read, you know, Hera's lines and you know, reading the book. And so it just was so neat to go back through it again. And, of course, now you and I and all of the listeners have this incredible perspective of four seasons of Rebels. And I go back to this book. It's just been really fun to go back through it and see the setup that John Jackson Miller does for the TV show. And I guess even reading it beforehand, I didn't realize how good he set up these characters. But going through it a second time, like anything, right, you really are like, okay, I'm picking up on the details. I'm picking up on, you know, his introduction of Kanan and Hera. He talks about the growth of Phantom, you know, all this stuff in this book. And he just does just a great job. So I actually did read it before and then read it a second time here to prep for our show. So it's been enjoyable both times.
Excellent. I've enjoyed it so far. It's been really good. One thing I noticed right off the bat, and he actually does this with several of his books, is John Jackson Miller divided this up into phases, phase one, phase two, phase three, then of course the epilogue. So what we've decided to do is just kind of break this up. And since we did cover some Resistance stuff in the first part of this show, we're going to go ahead and go right into the beginning of the book. There was an exposition at the beginning, plus the phase one, which was entitled Ignition. Which was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed the exposition part, which was a little prologue to the book, where it talked about during the Clone Wars, and it talked about Caleb Doom being in the temple getting his training, where he met Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it was a very interesting read at that point. What were your anything stick out to you in that exposition?
Absolutely, yeah. There's the section where John Jackson Miller talks about for 1,000 generations, and it goes into the very last little thing. I'll read the quote. It said, "Still others whose lives were destroyed by Palpatine's machinations lay scattered about the galaxy like unexploded bombs waiting to go off." And what stuck out to me there, Aaron, was that, of course, Spark of Rebellion was the name of the first, you know, episodes of Rebels. And then remember the last episode of season one was called Fire Across the Galaxy. And so clearly, you know, this theme of sparks and fire and bombs waiting to go off. So, you know, obviously Dave Filoni and John Jackson Miller talked about that and that whole theme there. I thought that was brilliant. And then, like you said, I thought it was so neat how John Jackson Miller has Caleb Doom asking these questions to Obi-Wan about what if orders never come? I won't know what to do. And he also asks, you know, can you send people away? And Master Bilaba, or Bilaba, I don't know how people say it, maybe both ways, just like Han and Han. Bilaba, Bilaba, I've heard both. So please, listeners, don't string me up. But it's neat to see her watching him during that process inside the Jedi Temple. And, of course, she goes on to become his master. And so, yes, I loved it. I loved that whole little section and how John Jackson Miller thought of that. I thought it was just brilliant.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm glad you hit on that, because that was the one piece that stuck out to me in this exposition was how during his class that Kenobi was teaching about the beacon, about how it will summon the Jedi back to the temple if something was wrong. How Caleb Doom, a.k.a. Kanan Jarrus, at that point was like, you know, what if, can it be reversed? Can it tell people to stay away as a warning? And he kind of stumped Kenobi at that point.
Yes.
Which was awesome. I absolutely love that. So, I mean, and this ties right into Revenge of the Sith, because Obi-Wan Kenobi reversed that beacon as a stay-away message, as a warning, which we actually saw in Episode 1. We actually finally got to see the recorded message in Spark of Rebellion when Rebels premiered. And we got to see that and hear that for the first time. And hearing James Arnold Taylor voice that in that episode was just chilling. Still one of my a great oratory audible piece. But hearing that, knowing that this is where Kenobi would have gotten the idea to do that, it just love it how it all ties in together.
Oh, so cool. Yeah, because now when I see Revenge of the Sith and you see Yoda and Obi-Wan getting back into the temple, and then you know that Obi-Wan is doing something that, you know, he remembers Caleb Doom talking about. And so, like you said, Obi-Wan is able to send the message out to all the Jedi, do not return, it's a trap, you know. Really neat how he did that.
It really was. It was really cool how he did that. Now, Phase 1 is the first series of chapters in the book. It's entitled Ignition. This really is what gets the story going in this book. It gets us the introduction to the characters. It takes place on in the Gorse system, on the planet Gorse and its moon, Cinda. I hope I'm saying that right, Cinda. Where it's basically it's a mining operation. They're mining crystals for thorolite, which is something that they use in construction of Star Destroyers and ships. But they're turning it out at such a fast pace. Of course, the Empire and of course feels they could probably squeeze more efficiency out of them. So we get a new character introduced with Count Denitrius Vidian.
Yeah, Denitrius Vidian. Yeah, you know, one of the things I thought about, Aaron, was, you know, Darth Vader, Denitrius Vidian, and then just this past May in Han Solo, we had Dryden Voss. They're all DVs. I sometimes don't think it's coincidence. You know, it just feels like John Jackson Miller's like, I'm going to have a bad guy, and he's going to have the same initials as Darth Vader. Well, there you go. You know,
you know, I never made that connection. Dryden Voss for Solo. And of course, you said Vidian?
Yeah, Vidian. That's how I pronounced it. You know, Denitrius Vidian, oh. Count Vidian. Yeah.
I was calling him Vidian.
Oh, Vidian.
That's just what I was calling him, only because I was sitting there, looked at it, and immediately thought of Star Trek Voyager and the Vidians. So there's my Star Trek reference for the night. Cha-ching!
Well, and you know, John Jackson Miller, of course, is written in that universe as well.
I know. I actually read earlier this year of one of his books, Takedown, Star Trek Takedown, which was phenomenal. If you like Star Trek and you want to read Star Trek Takedown. Phenomenal. Takes place in the Next Generation era of the storyline. Awesome book. But we're discussing A New Dawn, and we'll go back to the Jedi. get off my Star Trek tangent there. But yeah, this Count Denitrius Vidian, whatever we want to call him, we'll call him Count DV. He actually has very interesting story. I love how they show. I mean, apparently he's not like Vader. He's not all human.
Yeah, John Jackson Miller does a great job of describing how he looks in Chapter One. He just sounds like. You know, he's got this vocal prosthetic around his neck. His mouth doesn't move. He chose his voice based on opinion research. I'm looking at my notes here. Arms and legs are metal plated. They're not synthflesh. His face, I guess John Jackson Miller describes him as yellow irises and seas of red. And then his ears are just these ragged, fleshy lobes. And John Jackson Miller says they hold special hearing aids. And of course, throughout the book, we see Count DV. We'll call him Count DV. He uses them to his advantage many times to hear just the slightest things and things at long distances. So, really neat bad guy that he creates here.
Oh, it definitely is, and he's very by the book, very very harsh too. In his dealings with the people of Gorse. Absolutely. He fits right into the Empire, obviously.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just absolutely. No, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. We also get another Imperial, which we're introduced to. This Imperial is the temporary captain of the Imperial Star Destroyer Ultimatum, and it's Captain Ray Sloan. Now, of course, Ray Sloan has been... I've heard a lot about Ray Sloan. I'm still way behind. I'll admit I'm way behind in all my reading. And from what I understand, Ray Sloan has actually made a name for herself in some of these other novels that have been released. But we see Ray Sloan for the first time here, and very interesting Imperial character. I really want to have to pick up some other books that she's in and flesh her out some more. What were your thoughts on Sloan?
Yeah, this is, of course, you know, when I read this in 14, I had no idea how much more they were going to be using her in other things. I had sent you a message that, and Gary had sent both of you a message that I, on Sunday, 2 days ago, I'd read the Kanan trade paperbacks, the two of them. One is The Last Padawan, the other one is called First Blood, but it collects, you know, those two trade paperbacks collect the entire Kanan comic. And I had read it once through, and then, like I said, did it again, and then there's Ray Sloan, you know, towards the end of that, you know, introducing her, and put a little footnote about what happens between her and Kanan in the book A New Dawn, and so it was neat to see her there. Like you, I'm trying to remember. I've read so much stuff. I also remember her in the Aftermath series, Aftermath, Life, Death, and Aftermath, Empire's End. I'm looking at the books right in front of me here. And so she's in there as well. I believe I've got that correct. I don't want to mess that up. And then I guess I'm not sure the other things that she is in. But like you said, there's such a volume of stuff. I can't get through everything, but I... At least those are some of the things that I've seen her in. But it's neat to see her visually in the comic, the Kanan comic, and then, of course, here. And a neat character, like you said. She gets it. I wrote a note to myself. It says, Sloan knew, figuring out what the Emperor and those who spoke for him wanted and then providing it was the path to success. That's kind of how she's thinking to begin this book.
Oh, absolutely, and she does everything she can to make that happen, and throughout the throughout phase one, because DV is not the easiest person to get along with, and I don't think she 100% agrees with all of his tactics, but she follows through like a good Imperial, absolutely. We have a wide variety of, I mean, one thing I like about this book so far is the wide variety of species we have through this. We have, of course, we have the humans, but we have a Sulistan, of course, who's Zaluna Miter, as a Sulistani. Then we have, of course, I just lost their name.
You tell me, buddy. I'll help you.
The Nemoidan. There was a Nemoidan in there. Director Palfa.
Right.
Director
yep.
Palfa. Yep. Nemoidan. Through there. And of course, Hera as well.
Yeah.
We have Hera. So there's a wide variety here of different species, which has been fun to read. Let's look at the story. I mean, we have... a lot of what we see in this first phase is following the events of a incident on Senda, which unfortunately is triggered by a friend of or an acquaintance of Kanan named Skelly, who sets off a bomb and nearly kills, unfortunately, nearly kills Kanan.
Yes.
definitely sent... Put through a chain of events, which now has him on the run. It makes it quite. It makes him of interest to Hera, because obviously he's not a friend of the Empire, so she wants to know why. What are your thoughts on Skelly and the set of dominoes that he kind of started knocking down?
Yeah, I really like this, and something that. You know, I was trying to figure out about Skelly is, of course, you know, John Jackson Miller tells us that he is a veteran of the Clone Wars and, you know, lost an arm. They tried to put, what did I put down on Skelly? They tried to, demolitions expert, was injured in the Battle of Slag's Pit. was comatose, lost his hand. They tried to attach a Clatoonian prosthetic hand, and it didn't work. I was looking in my Star Wars visual encyclopedia, and I saw what a Clatoonian looked like. Oh, gosh. So they tried to attach that. Oh, goodness. Living in poverty. He loves Cinda. He loves the planet and how beautiful it is. And that's a real big part of this, is his love of this planet, or of the moon and the planet. And then, you know, one of the things that I, you know, that I did this is I couldn't figure out if he was a clone or not, right? I kept reading it, and I'm like, I'm reading it a second time. I'm like, ah, John Jackson Miller's not giving me any clues as to, you know, whether he's, you know, conscripted into it or if he's a clone. And so, you know, that back in July, I tweeted to John Jackson Miller. Here's what I said. I said, John, okay, been rereading A New Dawn. Skelly is a Clone Wars veteran, but is he a clone? I ask because although Kanan doesn't like Skelly, he doesn't seem to have the visceral response he has in the Star Wars Rebels Season 2 episode, Lost Commanders, when he meets Rex. And John Jackson Miller, he responded back just, I don't know, 30 minutes later, and he says, he's not a clone. Clones form the starting ranks of the Army, you and I know that from Attack of the Clones, but were quickly supplemented by volunteers and draftees. So
That was really cool of him to respond to that, too. I'm glad you asked that question, because I know it was something we had been discussing.
Yeah, and I just kept looking, and you know me, I'm a very detailed person, and I'm a voracious reader. And I kept looking through, and I'm like, I'm wanting to see, because I know it was going to be either way. He was a clone, an older clone, or someone that had been, you know, recruited in with all the Imperial propaganda and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. But overall, I like this character and really the heart that he has. And he's a good guy. He wants things done the right way, and he doesn't just care about himself.
Exactly. And another character we see in this first phase, and apparently it's played quite the role in Kanan's stay there on Gerst, is a bartender, the guy who runs the asteroid belt there on Gorse, Okeda Garson. Okeda Garson. And this is somebody who we find out through the story, Kanan almost somewhat looks up to like a father figure at some point, which is really cool. Which in the part of the book that was discussing this, it talks about how Kanan had never known his father, so this, he's not really even sure if that's the type of relationship that they have. It's really interesting to see that complexity from somebody who is trying to keep. He's wanted. He's a Jedi, so he's not really, you know, high on. He's not really wanting to get himself out there. So to form that kind of attachment at that point is, we already know he shoots from the hip. But we're beginning to see that develop even more in this book.
Yeah. This guy who runs the asteroid belt, I think Kane calls him Oak sometimes, O-K-E, right, Oak. And I really like this guy and how he really does give Kanan his space. You can tell he cares about him. And, of course, as the book describes, Kanan really was moving from the inner rim to the outer rim, and just trying to keep on the move and keep attachments to a minimum. But obviously, it, the way that John Jackson Miller describes this, this is a person that, you know, he's as close to this person as anybody after Order 66. And really, you know, Kanan's been working hard to not really get too tied to any one planet, one job, or any people. But this guy's a good guy. Oak is a good guy.
Oh, he really is. He's you can tell he's a typical bar guy. I mean, he runs his bar, keeps it clean, But he does have a soft spot for Kanan. You can see that in the story there. The story, or phase one, actually wraps up with what's going on in the asteroid belt, which is his bar there. Because we have a meeting between Hera, the Sulistani, basically she's basically the Gersh version of the NSA. She watches the people.
Yep.
Big Brother's watching. But her, Zelina, Hera, and of course Kanan just kind of crashes the party. That was not necessarily supposed to be in the meeting, but he is in his. It's in the bar that Oak runs, and he's pretty much, you know, hosting it at that point. Then we find out that he's beginning to find out there may be a little bit more to this Hera than he initially thought. Because their encounters in phase one have been very limited. There was the chance meeting in the alleyway where she had hired away the guys he was going to be fighting. She hired away to do something else. One of those things they have been very, very interesting. It's amazing they wound up working together the way their story played out. But Hera definitely, we see a different side of her than what we saw during Rebels, because we're seeing the covert ops Hera rather than the mother figure pilot Hera. What were your thoughts on the type of Hera we're seeing in this?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You know, I was looking in chapter one, it introduces her, and we hear the first mention of the Ghost. It doesn't say it's the Ghost, but it's her stealth rig starship. And John Jackson Miller says it wasn't a recruitment trip. And really, the purpose for Hera coming over to Gorse and to Cinda is to do recon, it said, on the Emperor, the Empire, and Count Vidian. She was going there to Gorse to meet with who we'd later learn is Hito, someone who worked under Zelina Miter, you know, the Sulistan. Yep. And Hito's got that data cube, and that's really kind of, you know, similar to a lot of Star Wars stories, almost the... maybe MacGuffin to a certain degree, not fully, but that's what gets her there. And I thought it was kind of cool, Aaron, that in that first chapter, and then of course I'll fast forward, that the Ghost has that identifying transponder signal, and we see that in the series where she hits a button and that ship becomes any other ship, which I thought was really cool. But yes, I mean, throughout this you'll see little statements about her. I like the banter between her and Kanan. I like here when I see the first time that he meets her. She's up wanting to do jobs with her, but he doesn't want to be part of the. It is interesting to see Hera. She's checking out Skelly. She's checking out Kanan, but keeps telling herself this isn't a recruiting trip. It's more to get that data on Count Vidian and what the Empire is doing in terms of data collection and stuff like that. So yes, we do see her as more covert ops versus the mother figure.
Syndulla, Hera Syndulla.
That's right.
Exactly. So it's very interesting to see this side of her. And Kanan's almost enamored from first sight, don't you think?
Say that one more time.
Kanan, he's almost, I mean, from the first time they met, he's pretty much taken back and almost enamored by her from that first meeting. He's just kind of, you know, there's something different, something special about her.
Oh, definitely. I was looking at the end of chapter 13. It says Kanan was entranced when he heard the voice. And it says now Kanan had a mission to see who it was. And then later on in 15, he asks, "What's your name?" And that's when, you know, he first hears her, and she says Hera. And so absolutely, he's absolutely enamored with her. And that's the start of the relationship that we see throughout Rebels.
It is. And it definitely... flourishes from there. I mean, the phase ends with them in at the asteroid belt. They decide they're going. Herod wants to know what DB is up to. She doesn't believe he's there just to improve the efficiency of an already efficient mining operation. So she thinks there's something more to that. So to do that, she wants to find out more. She kind of wants to stick around and follow Gurs, or Gurs is the planet.
Yeah.
She wants to follow DB around Gurs while he does some investigating, and she's going to use Kanan to do that. Kanan's a pilot. He works for he's contracted through a company called a mining operation called Moonglow, and DB's on his way to Moonglow to start a visit there, and she's going to use Kanan's connections with Moonglow to get in and find out more about him. And that's where phase one actually wraps up. Overall thoughts on phase one, David?
Oh gosh, I love it. And just like you said, it's interesting to watch John Jackson Miller intertwine all these characters and really get them together, you know, by the end of chapter 22 in phase one. It's neat to see him bring Kanan, Hera, Zelluna, and Skelly together, and really all right there at the asteroid belt that that Oak owns. So just really neat interweaving. Obviously, like you said, it's we know why Hera's there, and it introduces the characters, gets the story going, and after phase one, you're like, you know, what is going to happen next? So excellent job. And of course, like you and I just said, they're also this introduction to Sloan, so someone who we're going to end up seeing quite a bit in other Star Wars materials. So just a bang-up job. A lot of fun. And, of course, I was engrossed and just kept reading and crushed it that first time, like I told you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, this is my first time reading it, and I thoroughly am enjoying it so far. I love the descriptiveness of John Jackson Miller. He's a phenomenal author, and this is one of his finer pieces. There's something I do want to hit on real quick, because when I was reading it, there was one line that really stuck out, and when I read it, I had to reread it again because I'm like, I didn't just read that. Because I had to put the book down at that point and just think about that line at that point, because it was that, to me, it was that deep. I'm reading it on a Kindle, so I can't give you a page number or anything like that. But it's about a quarter, it's about 25% into the book, about a quarter of the way into the book. Kanan's is having an inner monologue. And Kanan says, you know, talking about connections and attachments, and it says, it might have been ironic if Kanan bothered to think about it, about such things. The Jedi always preached against forming connections to prevent their acolytes from putting too much value in any one relationship. In doing so, they had unwittingly trained their students to be the perfect fugitives, able to cut and run at any moment. As long as they didn't stop to care, they could go on indefinitely.
Exact. That's in chapter 9. Yes.
Chapter 9. Okay.
Yeah, and I wrote that down as well, and how you know, it did make it easier to do that. I believe I've got that. I was going to look real quick, like, where's your 16? Let me go back to chapter 9. I thought that was great. I think, you know, we of course, we know what happens in Rebels in terms of attachments, right? And let's see. It might be chapter... chapter 8, I think so.
Well, I mean, but look at it, though. I mean,
Yeah.
They unwittingly trained their students to be the perfect fugitives.
Yep.
Because that's what they are now. After Order 66, they were all fugitives. So the fact that this is how they were trained made it for those to escape, made it easier for them to escape. And if you go through, and I recently, thanks to Matt and Jeff over at Comics with Kenobi, I've actually started reading comics. I never did that before. I just listened to their show to stay up to date on what the canon stuff going on in the comics. But the more I heard about it, the more I heard them talk, the more I'm like, these actually sound really good. So I started picking them up, and now I'm just like, I'm hooked. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Jeff. My wife actually does not like you guys right now. But I love you guys. That's all that matters. But because of that, I've been going through and I've been reading the comics, and I'm loving the Darth Vader comic that's out right now. Those have been just absolutely awesome. But we see in that comic the Jedi's that they're finding, and they're in that Vader and his, because we have the Inquisitors in these comics too, that they're finding and that they're catching are ones that settled down.
Right.
And we're seeing that play out through the comics. And it's set up perfectly at the beginning of this book, where they unwittingly train their students to be privy to Kathleen Sorinamin, as long as they didn't stop to care, they could go on indefinitely. Look, Kanan in this book, it even says Kanan would go planet to planet. There had been, even says there's someone like in the paragraph above this one, there's been someone like Okadiah on all the planets he had visited, the one person willing to help a stranger, no questions asked. And Kanan had left all those worlds without saying goodbye to those people, so he cut and run each time. He did not make those attachments. He was able to cut and run at a moment's notice, and he did that. What happens? He meets Hera. The attachment occurs. He stays on Lothal.
Right.
What happens? The Inquisitors catch up with him.
Yeah.
Vader catches up with him. Thrawn catches up with him. He ends up sacrificing his life to save the others.
Yeah. Right. And this is the big thing, right? About how, you know, you and I were talking earlier today and the last few days about this with Gary about attachments and are they good, are they bad? And what you end up seeing is that when there's attachments, the person is more effective, more powerful, and saves a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, like I had said to you earlier, he saves what? Hera? Who else on the helicopter?
He saves everybody. He saves Hera. Kara, he saves Ezra. He saves them. I mean, the only two people that were, I mean, Chopper,
and Zeb.
Sabine were the ones that weren't there.
You're right. Right.
I think Ryder Azari was on there. There were a couple others on there too, but it was Hera and Ezra were right there. He saved their life laying down his.
Oh, definitely. That's the progression we see from where he is here at the start of this book to the end of the series. Again, those are those character arcs we want to see, and it's beautiful to see. And I've mentioned that before. One of the biggest things that appeals to me in Star Wars is the sacrifice that people do, and it leads to really great things. Hey, I want to make a couple corrections. One is, I don't think it is Chapter 9. I was trying to find exactly where that was. I do remember writing that down, but I'm glad that you did bring that up about Kanan and that line sticking out. I also want to back you up on the number of different species we see. I just want to briefly mention this. Yelkin, he's in this. He's a miner, but he's Deveronian.
Yep.
So he's... who's the guy who owns the Broken Horn?
Yeah,
Friends of Ezra and Kanan's What's his name?
Gosh, you had to ask me. I could see him plain as day.
I know.
Visago.
Visago, there you go. So this Yelkin looks like Visago, I guess, or something like this. Lal Gralic, she's a Basilisk, right? She's the chief of Moonglow. Mm-hmm. They call her Boss Lal. Her husband's a Basilisk. She's a Basilisk. And then that run-in that Hera and Kanan have is with Charco and the Sarlacc. And it says Charco is a, is it Chagrian? C-H-A-G-R-I-N? That's the same thing that... who's the right hand man to Palpatine? We see him in the, all these throne rooms, and he's got the two long horns.
It's voiced by Stephen Stan.
Right. I know. It's funny, you know. Like I always know these names, and as soon as I want to find them, I'm blocked. I'll get it in a second, but obviously,
yeah, it'll hit me in a minute.
Right, for Palpatine. I know people are screaming at their phones or whatever they're listening to the sound. But we'll get it in a minute. But yeah, so there's all these different species, like you said, you know. And I just want to back up what you'd mentioned. You know, besides just the Sullustan and some of these other ones, but really neat. He pulls a lot of really neat stuff, but he does it in a very subtle way. You know, Nemoidians, Chagrians, you name it. He's got them in here. So,
Masa Maeda. Pretty,
thank you. I knew if I kept talking, you'd get it. Masa Maeda. Yeah. So, Charco and the Sarlacc. So apparently, Charco has the two big horns like Masa Maeda. So there's just an idea for some of the listeners what some of these characters might look like as we're reading this. So... And like we said, Scully is not a clone, so he looks a bit different. So he was recruited in to the Clone Wars.
Exactly, and it was really, really a good part of the book. I can't wait to discuss the rest of it with you. We're actually running out of time, but definitely that takes care of part one of our new Dawn discussion. Definitely, in our next episode, we will be discussing phase two, which is entitled Reaction, and of course, phase three, Detonation, and that pretty much wraps up the book at that point. So we will finish off the book, A New Dawn, with the next with our next show, which is going to be awesome, because that should carry us right up until we should be close to Resistance beginning at that point. So if you want to send thoughts in on A New Dawn and let us know what you think, you can either message us through Twitter at Rebels Reactions, or of course definitely you can email the show rebelsreactions@coffeewithkenobi.com. Definitely make sure you send us your thoughts. We'll include them in our next episode as we wrap up A New Dawn. David, if they want to talk Star Wars with you, whether it's New Dawn, Rebels, or Resistance now, what's the best way for them to, or listeners to do that?
Absolutely. On Twitter, I am at David_Modders, M-O-D-D-E-R-S. It's D's as in Darth Vader instead of T's as in TIE Fighter. So David_Modders. And then... email is dmodders@coffeewithkenobi.com.
Perfect, perfect. Then, of course, you can find me on Twitter at taharris121079. You, of course, can email me aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. Make sure you're checking out our family of shows. We are a part of the Coffee with Kenobi family. Great shows, part of that family. I was recently a guest on the main flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi, with Dan Z. We talked about our top five things we thought Disney has done right with Star Wars property, and so far, that was a great conversation, and I had a blast on that. So make sure you check them out, subscribe to them. All of our shows have individual feeds on iTunes, so make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a beat. Comics with Kenobi, if you want to get hooked on comics, or if you already are, Matt and Jeff do a great job breaking those down, so check them out, Comics with Kenobi. Randy and Luke do a great job. If you like the old Legends books, check out Legends Library. They go through and they break down all the old Legend books and do a phenomenal job doing that. They're truly, truly fans of that, the Legends, and it definitely shows on their show. Then, of course, one of my favorites, Lattes with Leia. I tell you, Andrea and Amy, they do a great job hosting that show. It's a lot of fun. Comes out monthly. And they cover everything. And I love how it's all from a fangirl perspective. And I love hearing what drinks they're drinking when they're recording. That makes my day, find out what they're drinking. Because it's always something different. And it's never a latte.
Right. I think one thing, I've listened to every episode of Lattes with Leia. I don't believe, and like Dr. Andrea Letamendi has said this, and so has Amy Ratcliffe, that some people have spreadsheets on this about what they, you know, were drinking each one. But I believe they have drank lattes, but not both of them at the same time. I think one had one like earlier in the day one time, but I would have to go back and listen to if someone was actually drinking one on the show. But I've sent in, you know, some tweets to them just teasing them that if they both had a latte while they were recording, that there would be a tear in the time-space continuum. So I've kind of encouraged them not to have them at the same time.
Yeah, you're probably right. It probably would. I mean, right. Then again, you're talking to a guy who does the main show of Coffee with Kenobi, and instead of drinking coffee, he's drinking a tea instead. So, you know, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I'm on Coffee with Kenobi. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. David, my friend, it's always awesome to talk with you about Rebels, about Star Wars in general, and definitely we're glad that everybody you're listening in and hearing us talk about it. We appreciate everything y'all do. This is Rebels Reaction. Remember, this is the Rebels podcast you're looking for.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.
Chopper, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
This is Spectre One. I need a lift.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.